everybody, and welcome to a deadly wild ride with Steve-O. Comedy fans, rejoice. We've got the host of Kill Tony, Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah, dude, this one's really, really deep into the comedy scene and how it's moved from LA to Austin, Texas. Of course, Rogan and Tony Hinchcliffe are out there with a bunch of other world-class comics. So this one's particularly juicy. And speaking of comedy, I'm on my bucket list tour in Charleston, South Carolina right now, but these are the last dates of my bucket list tour. I'm actually taping my special in multiple cities: Albuquerque, Little Rock, Arkansas, Alabama, to name a few. And I'm bringing it international. Australia, you've been begging for the bucket list tour, and it's coming your way. More on that later. But this episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens, thank God, because that's what keeps me so healthy and fit. It fills in all the gaps in my diet. Their product, AG1, is the most comprehensive, convenient daily nutrition. You pour it into a pint of water in the morning to get yourself hydrated. It's loaded with 75 different vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, adaptogens, probiotics. It's got it all, baby. And it's delicious. It helps with your gut health, with your cognitive abilities, and it just fills in the gaps in your diet. If you're not getting all of your nutrition, don't worry about it. It's all in AG1. Plus, if you go to athleticgreens.com/Steve-O, they're going to give you 5 free travel packs with all of your daily nutrition in there, plus an entire year's supply of immune-boosting vitamin D. That is only if you go to athleticgreens.com/Steve-O. You're going to get all of that with your first order. So jump on it, baby, athleticgreens.com/Steve-O, and let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. What's up?
We are in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
This van was driven all the way from Los Angeles to Austin, Texas.
I've made that drive.
Yeah.
It's a wild one.
Yeah, dude.
There's nothing between Phoenix and here, pretty much, but yeah.
El Paso is the only...
Oof.
You don't want to stop there.
You don't. I stopped there at an Olive Garden. For some reason, I'm like, this will be a good idea. And it
It wasn't.
It wasn't. I'm like, the Olive Garden's safe. It's a corporate thing. You know, you're not going to get food poisoning at an Olive Garden.
You'll be fine.
I didn't get food poisoning, but it was just a nightmare.
How long you been in Austin?
About 2 years now.
2 years. Wow.
And I was in LA for 16 years, and I came out here and got hooked, man. Hooked.
Yeah.
Whole different ball game.
We were at your show the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And you and the one dude were ripping on each other.
Yeah, it
pretty
was
quickly.
Really, really impressive.
Well, what I'm impressed with is because, like, you know, I read that you grew up in Youngstown, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that was, like, kind of like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
So, like, when you go places, by default, are you constantly doing that to people?
No, I don't do it. I have such an incredible amount of outlets for it. That being one, every Monday I have David Lucas there to go back and forth with. So it's like, I'm like a power lifter that gets to go to the gym. You know, if he doesn't go to the gym, he's probably out there breaking windows and throwing shit and, you know, road rage. But
to be clear, what these guys are doing, what Tony's doing with this, like, improv insult comedy is so, it's indicative of such intelligence. You can't become, like, super intelligent as a defense mechanism.
Sure you can. You could be fucking playing chess if you grew up in a household where, like, you're only a child and you're just, like, a chess psycho.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, I was wildly impressed.
Well, I was wildly impressed, too.
Well, what's crazy, if I could share this with you, is that we've been doing this show forever. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary of Kill Tony, right? And David has been a regular on it, I think, for 3 or 4 years. So that's 52 new minutes a year if we don't take him on the road with us, some special Friday, Saturday tapings and big theaters and stuff. So that's even more than 52 minutes a year, which means that we're roasting each other, because that normally lasts, we'll say, you know, at least 5 minutes, at minimum 5 minutes. We go back and forth every week, completely improvised.
And it's all new.
And it's always new. It's obviously framed in the same, you know, thing. Yeah. He makes fun of me for being feminine or gay or whatever his angle is at that point. And I make fun of him for being, you know, big and black. I'm a pasty white guy. He's a black guy. I think it's something, you know, this part's corny, but I think it's something that should be more seen and under, you know, like put out there, because it's what's cool about America. But what I wanted to say is that what's wild about what David and I are doing is we feel like we're hitting a crazy stride. Like, we now are doing this dance where it's like writing in public.
Yeah.
And it's, we're trying to obviously get a laugh, but we're trying to get a laugh off of what the other person said. So it's kind of like freestyle rapping.
Sure.
It's just wild. What's crazy is that we're hitting a stride where we're like, was that 30% better than last week, which we said was our best one? You know, when we get up to that green room, we do a little like recap, like, we fucking did that shit tonight. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can feel it.
So did he move out here?
Yep.
Just to get roasted by you?
Well, yeah. All the regulars that we had in LA moved out here, and it's an honor and a wild thing. Even Michael Lehrer, who you saw get Hall of Fame inducted, was the first to move here with debilitating ALS, advanced, you know, PLS, ALS, the whole works. And he puts it all together. He gets the writing, the rest, the everything to be able to do a minute every week. And he loves it, you know.
Yeah.
William Montgomery, another one, got out here and found sobriety, which is crazy because he was going down a wild, wild road. And even you would be like, God, whoa. But he's absolutely thriving. There's a weird thing happening here in Austin where, you know, I've been trying to put my finger on it, because I'm like, why do I love this place? When I go on the road now, you know how you miss LA, and when the planes, when you see the big buildings out your right side, you know, like, oh, here we go. We're a few minutes away from LA. It's home. And I lived that for 16, 17, 18 years. And now I get that feeling here, like, much, much more.
Okay.
And because it, I don't know, there's something about the lack of like LA, like billboards, stars on a sidewalk, like all of these things that are like,
well, it's not as fake
right
out here.
Exactly.
That's one thing.
Yeah. Big time. That's an easy way of putting it, but I'm talking about like the psychological effects of living in LA. I can see like in neons, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally like, what
it's like
are
you're living in Instagram?
Yeah, yeah.
There's all these people that aren't real, like fucking smoking hot. There is some really hot chicks out in Austin. I would even say there's hotter chicks in Austin than there is in LA.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild out here. I mean, it's absolutely insane. There is kind of a look that they all have that, you know, gets a little bit tricky if they live here too long.
The tattoos that you're talking about?
Weird leg tattoos that look like, you know, they were like sailors at one point in their lives or something. They love the bangs out here. That's a thing. At some point, they're just like looking at.
How does the cost of living compare?
Night and day. I mean,
a lot cheaper here,
and there's a lot more economy here. It's just booming. So like, people, you know, one of the perks of being at the Comedy Store for so long and starting there and working up there is that you get people from different places visiting, so you get a different vibe. It's not just LA. It's not like performing in like Silver Lake or Echo Park or somewhere that's like off the beaten path and just locals. The Comedy Store gives you a wide variety of different types of humans, and now we're getting that here. People are traveling here all the time, you know. It's becoming like an open destination, whereas people that used to visit LA and New York are like, now might not be the time. They might get it back soon, but I don't think now's the time to go vacation at this place, to go listen to music and nightlife. It's really crazy here. The music here is the craziest part. I wish I could have dragged you out to where we ended up on Monday night, because what time do you go to sleep now? Ballpark.
I'm generally up pretty late, but I don't really go out in public too much.
Right. But you would love this, because another thing about Austin is they're cool with famous people if you're at a good place. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's very chill. Like, it's like, oh, blah, blah, blah is with blah, blah, blah. They live here, you know. But there's music places here. I won't even shout them out because I don't want it to get too packed. But there's places here where literally musicians go to see their musician's favorite musician. And it's like, you know, encapsulated in rooms like this. Like, there's just three musicians in a corner.
Yeah, we had the chance. Curtis was going to take us.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
He was thrilled. And he's like, there'd be like, you know, people come up and there's four guitarists playing at the same time and just...
And it's insane.
And they're like the best guitarists in the world.
Exactly. And they're doing their best stuff and they're laughing. They're doing kind of like what I was talking about with David Lucas. They're like, shit, did we just fucking do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? You can see it live.
And the band that you have coming up before you guys, they improv for that first 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I mean, they're incredible.
They're all professional musicians, way overqualified to be part of it, but they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they're excited to be part of something that is raw and sort of rock and roll comedy. They can feel it too.
When you moved out here, did the caliber of comedians in the bucket like go down?
No, not at all.
I mean, I guess the caliber of comedians
you're talking about,
never...
the people that go on
right,
Kill
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, the people who get on stage and do the 1 minute set, amateurs.
It's interesting because I thought that it was going to go down, but what ends up happening is the type of person that moves to Austin for comedy is more prepared. They're more I find them to be more ready to be on a show like Kill Tony, whereas someone might go to start in LA. You know what I mean? And some people are starting here too, but the type of people that know to move to Austin instead of what we were all told was that your two options the last 40 years, which is LA and New York, I think it brings a different type of more intellectual, ready, prepared type of someone that knows they have to do some serious work. With that said, there's still, you know, horrible comedians that get pulled out of the bucket. But
yeah, the one guy from Iowa wasn't too good.
Yeah.
No, he was from Idaho.
You know what it is? I think it's easier to be crazy in L.A., you blend in more. So anybody can sign up there. So it'd be, you know, 160 signups. Anything can possibly happen.
Right.
And we had a lot of bad bucket pulls back then.
Well, there's a lot of mental illness in LA.
Oh, yeah.
And they find their way on stage sometimes.
And you also had, like, bona fide, like, breakout stars.
Huge.
Speaking of huge, I wonder how huge your anxiety is about Christmas gift giving this year. Are you just gonna go ahead and do the old boring gift card thing, or are you gonna do something awesome, original with HelloTushy.com? What's HelloTushy.com? It's my favorite sponsor we've ever had on this podcast. They make bidets that just blast your butthole with a refreshing stream of water. It's just like power cleaning your poop chute. And it is the best feeling, man, to just walk away from taking a dump knowing that you're totally clean. And it's the best gift that you can give somebody, man. It's fun, it's funny, it's useful, it's practical, it's techie, but it's affordable. I'm telling you, man, HelloTushy.com. Plus, if you go to HelloTushy.com/Stevo, then not only do you get 10% off your order, you also get free shipping. It's because they love the listeners of the Wild Ride podcast. And you've probably heard me say this before, HelloTushy.com is my favorite sponsor of this podcast because these bidets are my favorite product I've ever told you guys about. If you haven't tried it yet, man, do your butthole a favor. Do your loved one's buttholes a favor. Go to HelloTushy.com/Stevo. Enjoy 10% off your order plus free shipping. Now, let's talk about these huge stars.
Huge. Preacher Lawson. So many of them. I mean, all the regulars.
The girl that ended up going on Rogan.
Ally Makovsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, she came from Kill Tony?
Yeah.
And she blew up?
She was every week she was on Kill Tony.
Yep. She would do a new minute every week.
And so, but...
And Kim Congdon, and Sarah Wineshank, and, you know, William, David, Michael Lair.
Wow.
William Montgomery. And, yeah, I'm missing a couple.
But so, the guy that you guys... I mean, because Tom Segura was there last, and he was like, yeah, if you want to come on the road with me? Like, it just happens like that?
It happens.
I don't know that Tom Segura said, you want to come on the road with me to anybody?
Weren't they like, let's talk about dates? And he's like, yeah, first weekend of December.
He did. He booked William Montgomery for the first weekend in December.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So that guy's just, I mean, does that happen to that guy often, or is that the first time?
Not exactly the first time, no. I take him on the road with me. Duncan Trussell takes him on the road with him. But yes, you are correct. You're... a theory that is going to be a huge break for him. I'm positive of it. Those two are going to absolutely fall in love. Once Tom realizes that William's like common sense and can chill and just be cool, like it's going to be game over. Because William, what I told Tom afterwards is I go, when he gets brought out at whatever venue you're taking him to, listen when his name gets said at the pop that the crowd will have at your show. Because he's, you know, these guys are out there doing a new minute every week. It doesn't seem like much on the surface, but when you realize a special, if you get someone to sit through a special, that's what, someone comes out with that once every few years. That's just 54 minutes. You know what I mean? Now that we're like looking at the map, these people that are watching a minute every week and the interview. So again, it only takes a month of appearances as a regular on Kill Tony to have a special's worth of time of connection with these people. They know about your real life. So not only is he doing a minute every week as a stand-up comedian in front of these people, he's also doing a 6-minute podcast, right, essentially, yeah, about his life. I'm asking him questions. And William's a little bit of a weird example because he's so bizarre on stage and is so goofy. But
the reading from the... Have you ever encouraged him to not...
Oh, yeah,
read.
Totally. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. We broke him of that. He used to do that during his actual stand-up sets. Now when he's doing a minute, we'll let him get away with it.
He's not going to do that on Segura's opening.
No chance.
No fucking chance.
No, no notes. No chance in hell.
Yeah.
We broke him of that. It was a very, very bad habit of his. There were times where we're like, no more notes, because sometimes he had it on a big thing and he would just like literally stare at it while reading the jokes while doing sold-out shows with us. And we're like, nah, dude, you gotta, it's cool and all, but he would like glance up for a second and then go right back to it. And it was a treacherous course. It took him months and months and months. He went from that to a smaller piece of paper to the paper on the stool, glancing at the stool. We would bust his balls. William, we see you glancing at the stool between every joke. Then it was on his phone, and then it wasn't. And now he can, you know, go out there and have a blast for 20 minutes in a giant theater, in a sold out comedy club, in an arena. He could do anything.
You're used to going on doing theaters and larger venues like 2,000-3,000 cap, and then on your own, and then Rogan takes you on the road to do an arena or whatever, or like what's the biggest you've done? And then when you went out on stage for the first time for like 19,000 people, were you just like, I mean, was it kind of like being a newcomer again, or were you more pumped when you went out there? Or was it like, whoa, this is fucking crazy?
Well, the biggest one, they're all about the same size. It's all somewhere between like, I don't know, 15 and 20,000. And we've done a ton of them. So to give anyone like extra credit would be
Like the first one you did, when you went from that jump from like 2000.
The first one is interesting because if you're doing an arena, you want to be in the middle in the round, which is something that we really just started doing a couple years ago. But in the beginning, the first few arenas, we were on the far, far side, like a music show.
Right.
And it's just totally different. Being in the round, it's like being in a comedy club. It's like being in like a perfect comedy thing. You're like in an orb of energy and they're everywhere. So you're just turning around and, you know, moving around a little bit. And the big cameras that they have there follow you so that people in the arena are looking up at this thing and glancing down. So it like is all very connective and it works incredibly well. Whereas being on the end of an arena is sort of, there's acoustics issues. You're not exactly sure what the pacing is and the timing is. And there's only one front row instead of four front rows. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But now we have it figured out. You know, it's unbelievable. There's nothing like it. And it's like doing the in the round arenas and then going back and doing my own like headlining shows is like going from flying private to being
Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah. Boarding group G.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Do you find that with arenas that like you're more struggling with the disruptiveness in the audience or less?
No, I find it to be less. The most disruptive thing to me is a room where there's, you know, 100 people squozing in like sardines and they get you at just the right time. Like it doesn't really fly in arenas. Someone would have to go ballistic to be disruptive to the show. They'd have to literally scream and other people would be like, sit down, you fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
to carry that because the speakers are so strong. It's a very present experience, much more than I ever would have expected. And luckily, you know, Rogan has a very smart audience. These people are listening to him talking with scientists and whatnot for hours every day. They're a lot better listeners than you would expect if you didn't know. Like, people might assume that, oh, he's the UFC guy, he's the Fear Factor guy, but like, he's not filling up arenas because of his commentary or Fear Factor hosting.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And so it's a really great crowd, and man, they're also, you know, they love free speech, if you want to call it that, which, you know, they're hoping that they get to see some exciting stuff. You know, the phones are all locked up for those, so they already know, like, like, what's going on? Which I think every place should. I think that's how restaurants and bars and stuff should be now, too.
It's probably the future in 10 years.
I hope so.
Like,
it's really interesting that you say that, because I think that when people meet me, there's a tendency to think, oh wow, you know, you're not like the maniac crazy guy, you're actually like a thoughtful, like seemingly intelligent guy. I didn't expect that. And then like my crowd
you probably have like a Bert Kreischer crowd, like similar drinkers and partiers and
My crowd, like, I'm sober, my crowd drinks more than anybody.
Yeah,
like we hear it all the time that like that whatever venue I'm at like broke their record for selling booze.
Yep.
And then we have bits in the show where like there's needles involved for like vasectomies, and so people pass out, so the drinking and the needles, like we get, you know, two or three people dropping out of show.
I don't even know that it's got anything to do with the drinking. People just pass out at my show.
People just pass out at your show. Cool. We give them a free bottle of hot sauce if they pass out.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean, you know, it's always during a certain bit, but
yeah. Oh man, I can't wait for you to see the new hour, dude.
I can't wait too. That's what's crazy is that, you know, we just get to keep getting better at stuff,
dude.
So whatever the new stuff is, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. I always feel like, oh man, like I'm ready. And then few more years down the road, looking back on it, it's like, oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. It's like, even like, you know, I record a lot, almost, yeah, like 99% of all my sets. And,
on video or just audio?
Both. Uh-huh. And it's funny because, you know, when you're trying to even shoot a special or something like that, if you do and you have a show the next week, and obviously you're still, you know, you don't have a, might not have a brand, whatever, new material to fill. So you do the same joke again and you accidentally add a new tag
right. That like, kills like, it.
You're like, wait, what the hell? How's this possible?
Right.
It didn't happen the last 10 weeks when I was getting ready for this thing, and 1 week later.
Right. Yeah, Segura was just telling us about all these shows that he's doing after having taped the special, and I'm like, aren't you terrified that you're going to develop some genius new thing, and you already taped it?
Mm-hmm. Oof. Are you constantly, but you're not really constantly adding.
Dude.
Subtract. I mean, you're cutting.
Absolutely. Coming up with new stuff. Like, I mean, it's a super gradual evolution, but like these little tiny things are constantly happening.
And yeah. How you say something and what you take out, especially, you know.
From one show to the next, like, I mean, not every show is gonna have a change, but, you know, I'm not gonna go for a week without there being something that's important to me.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do shows for a week and not have something mm-hmm. where you're like, man. So to be married to a special and continue to do the show after, that would freak me out.
Yeah.
How do you deal with hecklers? Because I feel like you would almost be stoked on hecklers because that's your like forte of just,
yeah.
And then do you kick them out after?
It all depends on exactly the situation. It's all, they all get handled on a case by case basis, and how annoying and what their attitude is and how drunk they are. And it's a, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, they have to be obviously annoying to the audience. I have to make sure that it's clear that, I'm the good guy. You know what I mean? Because I definitely, early on in my career, there were times where I would kick people out and just mishandle the situations completely, trying to have an original take on a heckler that you go so far over the line that, you know.
Yeah.
I once called Jimmy Kimmel's aunt the C word. Yeah, but I didn't know it was Jimmy Kimmel's aunt at the time. And this is like 13 years ago. Like, I'm like a couple years into stand up. And actually, no, it was like, yeah, it was like 10 years ago, 11 years ago. But I had no idea. And, it, you know, at the time, it was still a pretty big deal if you were going to get on Jimmy Kimmel Live and do stand up or whatever. And, there were these two old ladies talking in the front row. I'm waiting for my spot all night. It's like 1:30 in the morning, right? And I'm a brand new paid regular. This is how I know that it's 10 years ago or 11 years ago. Anyway, and it's 1:30 and they're talking and there's only 8 people in the room, right? There's these two old white ladies. There's 2 people in the back middle that are like just drunk and sobering up because they're at the Comedy Store at 1:30 and they know it's over at 2 and whatever. And there's like 2 more people back right and whatever else. There's like nobody there. But these 2 old white ladies in the front just keep talking. And at the time, I'm literally trying to exercise the muscle of going through your set and not acknowledging them. I'm like trying to work that muscle because I'm so bad at it, especially early on where I would over acknowledge everything. What'd you say over there? I was looking for any escape to not have to work on these jokes, right? And I'm trying. I'm 5 minutes in. I'm 6 minutes in. I'm like, oh my God, they're still talking. 7 minutes in. They're still talking. 8 minutes in. They're literally 20% of the audience. So finally, 10 minutes in, I go, what the hell are you two ladies fucking talking about? I mean, I've waited all night up here for this. And you're a percentage of the audience. What the fuck could possibly be going on? It's been 10 minutes you two have been talking. And she says, we're talking about whoever's going on after you. And I took that as, we're just next, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But what she was actually saying was, is we're talking about the guy that's going on after you, Don Barris, because he's the warm-up guy for Jimmy Kimmel, and we've known him for decades, and we're close with him. We're here to see Don Barris, is what she should have said. But instead, I took it as, you know.
Right.
And so I just loaded up and went berserk. You fucking boom.
Yeah.
And people like you are the scum of the earth that don't respect art.
Yeah.
And you're un-American and you're not a good person. And if this is how you're acting now, I can't imagine what your fucking children must think about you and their children's
right.
children. You're probably yeah. that worst fucking grandma, you wrinkly bag of fucking nothing burger dough. I mean, I went crazy for the last 5 minutes. I spent 10 minutes ignoring her and 5 minutes lighting her up. She went the next day and wrote letters to the heads of CAA, WME, ABC. I'm not even kidding. Jimmy wow. Kimmel himself, Jeff Ross, who, you know, is good friends with Jimmy Kimmel. And she knew that because somehow she found out immediately, probably, but however, that I was working with him. And he's like, what the hell did you do to this lady that she's writing letters to everybody saying never work with him in all of show business?
Jesus.
Wow.
She's literally like, if any of you ever work with this man, you're asking for a problem. He is the devil incarnated.
You ever run into Jimmy Kimmel?
Yep.
That sounds like it might have been an awkward encounter, but let's face it, could it be any more awkward than when you're in bed with a girl and she finds a bunch of disgusting bush all over your dong and your chest? I mean, come on, it's 2022, boys. It's time to clean up your act with Manscaped, man. You want to be sleek and smooth and feel good about how you look, and come on, Manscaped, it's what's up these days, all right? And with their Platinum Package 4.0, they are giving you the deal of a lifetime. It's all of the best stuff they've got from their best-selling performance package, but this one includes ultra-premium body wash, ultra-premium 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner, and ultra premium deodorant. That's on top of the Lawnmower 4.0 and the Weed Whacker. All of the best stuff in one package. And if you go to manscaped.com/Stevo, not only will you get 20% off your order, but free shipping as well. I'm telling you, man, it's another one of these gifts that's fun and funny and practical and affordable. And man, if it's your dad, your brother, your husband, I mean, with the hair coming out of the nostrils, man, it's time for that to end. Put the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 under the tree for these gentlemen. Laugh about it, have a good time, and they will thank you later. So one more time, it's manscaped.com/Stevo for 20% off your order plus free shipping. Now, let's talk about that encounter with Jimmy Kimmel.
And you want to know what it was? He was actually judging a roast battle, one of the televised seasons of Roast Battle, which, you know, I do, I did, I'm good at. and he was a judge with nightmare shit. And we're walking backstage, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We pass by each other and he goes, "Hey, Tony Inchcliffe, you're the guy that called my aunt a c-."
And what'd you say?
I go, "That was me. You know, I was just honest." I go, "I don't know how much she told you," but he goes, "I get it. I get it. He got it." Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Fuck, dude.
But I knew I was doomed the second he said that. I'm like, oh my God, there's even if I eviscerate this person, 5-0, this guy's going to go with fucking Aunt Chippy or whatever.
Wow. So he was judging you. Like, you were a contestant in
that.
Wow.
Yeah. Where you make fun of each other back and forth.
Right. Okay.
Silly shit back in the day.
Do you already know what you would say to me if I talk shit to you? Would you come up with it?
I mean, what do you mean already know? Like,
well, I feel like
now that you said that, in between when you said that and now.
Yeah.
He already has. That's when it happens.
I mean, I didn't know that fucking Mythbusters had Down syndrome over here. You know what I'm saying?
I was just curious how quickly it happens. Like, because I feel like, you know, when I'm driving, I'm just like, this fucking, and I come up with shit in my head.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I'm asking, if it's like by default.
And then you go tape another episode of Adam Ruins Everything.
So it just happens like, it happens like that, huh?
I mean, I don't know. I guess so. With shoes like that, you must know what it's like. I'm kidding. I don't know. That doesn't even make sense.
It's good though. I was just so impressed with you guys going back and forth at the show. It was just, I was like, fuck man, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's a weird muscle. You know, I was watching, my buddy sent me a clip of Rick Rubin talking with Joe Rogan about different rappers' processes, mm-hmm. about how, you know, Eminem writes everything down. He writes all day into a notebook, tiny little letters, words, everything. Single thing he just writes, and Jay-Z writes nothing. And this person does that, and this person does that. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just like we got good at not having to write it down, take what's given to you. You know, Jay-Z would listen to a beat and and not have any idea of what the song could be and whatever, and goes right on the other side of a wall on the other side of the glass and makes that background beat a fucking iconic hit that mm-hmm. we all know, that everybody yells in the middle of the night.
It's just like it was meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm comparing me calling David Lucas a fat black guy to Jay-Z, so I have to catch myself sometimes.
Right, no, I think it's completely fair to, you know, it's all improv.
Yeah, it is. It's wild, man. And it's something that I get to look forward to, and you try to apply topical things to it and like what's in the news maybe, you like, know, so I called him Hershey Walker for the first time last night,
Hershey
or
Walker.
Monday night, Hershey Walker, for some reason it works. That, chocolate bar, Herschel Walker just lost his election.
Oh, did he lose?
I think so.
What did he say? He said that David Lucas said, "How bad of a politician do you have to be to go in a runoff against Herschel Walker?"
Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
You want to know an interesting thing you guys might find cool, is that after that roast with David Lucas, I realized that there was a joke that I should have done, and those bother me. That happens a lot, where it's like, oh, we did so good, but I could have done this.
Yeah.
Because remember how he had the wings on the back of his shirt? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, that's going to be a rough takeoff. Mm-hmm. I realized afterwards that I should have said, that's going to be a rough takeoff. That's going to be worse than the takeoff that Takeoff had the other day. When he took off, like I could have just like boom, 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 because the rapper Takeoff got shot in the head. Yeah. That's a rougher takeoff than Takeoff had last week. Any version of it would have been like, bah, bah,
the it's lights. Like George Costanza. He's like, the jerk store called, and he's like fucking dwelling on it all day, you know?
That reminds me of the best tweet I ever saw, which was by Jeff Ross. When the magician was found hanging dead of suicide in the magic castle, and Jeff Ross tweeted the TMZ story link just with the word abracadaver.
Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah. I wrote his writing on his show was the first any type of break I ever had, ever.
Yeah.
I spent the first 4 weeks in the writer's room eating all the Nature's Valley granola bars from the snack area because I literally didn't have money for lunch. There was a period of time where everybody would collect money and, you know, put your money in an envelope for the lunch thing. And I was just like, no, no, I'm good this week. And I would go eat like 2 bananas and 4 granola bars because I didn't want anybody to know that I was completely broke. I mean, totally a starving artist.
Yeah.
And we were writing. We had so much fun. And that reminds me of one of the jokes that the great Sarah Tiana wrote. You know Sarah, right?
I don't know that I know
her. She's amazing. Paid regular at the Comedy Store. Little country girl. And it was David Copperfield's birthday. So we were trying to figure out, you know, we did this thing called Burn Days, where if it was your birthday that night in the monologue, he would pay tribute to you by making fun of you. And it was, anyway, it was David Copperfield's birthday. And the joke that Sarah Tiana wrote was, happy Burn Day to David Copperfield. I wanted to get you something, but I couldn't pick a card, any card.
That's good. Yeah.
Wait, Kill Tony doesn't stream live anymore.
Not anymore, no. We, you know, it's so hard for a production like that to, with all the stuff that happens in live shows, have the sound and the video and everything as good as it can be. So we decided to just start running it through a process. And
right. So what's the delay?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So people aren't going to see how much I crushed it on there for 2 weeks.
That's true.
Man.
Unless you put this out in 2 weeks, in which case it would have happened yesterday.
It will happen.
Yeah, how about that?
2 weeks.
What day does it go up?
2 from yesterday, so the 28th. 2 from the 14th, so
and
the 28th.
It'll be a Monday night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving's Thursday the 24th. So, yeah.
How about that?
That was fucking amazing, by the way. That was
thanks,
so
dude.
Perfect. It's just amazing. I mean, it worked out on so many levels in so many ways, and your story is just hilarious. It's great that you get to, you know, there's risk reward on a show like that, right? You're like, Jesus, what if something gets fucking stuck in my throat? What if something gets in my eye? What if anything? What if there's pee on my pants? What if my shoelace is untied? In any circumstance, so many things can go wrong. And when it goes fucking great, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, you think, well, here I'm on Kill Tony. I'm gonna get up and do the like somebody out of the bucket, you know. But I do this, like, I better fucking do good, or this is gonna be awful.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that you get that validation from Tom on top of, you know, what I gave you about how you did the work, man. You know what I mean?
Well,
so many people,
man.
And I even had this talk with Joe last night in the green room of the show that we did about how you went and did it. You know, there's the old trope of comedians that are like, oh, someone's coming that's already famous, you know, like, yikes, good luck. But man, you really did it and made the adjustments, and you know, you didn't let your ego do the stand-up comedy work. You know what I
thanks
mean?
Thanks so much, man.
It's hard to do. It's hard to be that self-aware. We see it all the time. Even with people that get great, they all of a sudden kind of realize they're great. Like, it's like a championship fighter, right?
Yeah.
When you have that belt, all of a sudden you get invited to more of this and more of that, and life is this, and you can get comfortable and content, and instead you're out here fucking driving a van across the country, doing spots, doing podcasts, getting guests, you know, thriving, making huge appearances, creating your own body of work that you don't have to give to freaking whoever, Warner Brothers or MGM or whatever it all is. And you know, we live in a very, very fun time. It's very exciting.
It really, really is, man. I remember when I started making YouTube videos, I thought, like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And, like,
It's funny, dude. I've written for the last, whatever, 10 Comedy Central roasts or whatever. And I remember when being on YouTube and having a podcast were the insults on somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A decade ago. And now on these things, and for the last 2 or 3, I got to watch it go all the way to being the intro for somebody.
Right.
You know your next comedian from their hit podcast, blah, 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 or the hit channel, doopity boop. Like,
it's crazy.
Well, it's crazy. We go to Just for Laughs and like, we'll go see a show at a theater beforehand. And I'm like, who are these guys? Like, dude, they're YouTubers and they're fucking selling out.
Yeah.
And then the video game people. Mm, when the comedy club or some theater is like people playing video games and it's completely sold out from people coming to pay money to watch people play video games.
That's insane. I just heard of this the other day. I still don't believe it.
And they're making so much money?
I guess. That's what somebody told me.
I've always said that, like, I think video games are responsible for, like, the decline of our nation.
Yeah.
You know, like, just the idea of just sitting there and just wasting your time playing video games, just becoming fat and just lazy and unmotivated. But then now we're taking it to another level. People are actually wasting their time watching other people play video games.
It's unbelievable.
Who is that porn star that Adriana Chechnik or something? I guess she went from porn to streaming video games, and she was at some award show. She broke her back. And I mean,
she broke her back at the award show.
I guess
show?
She fell and like she was in pain or whatever. But
that's not normally how porn stars get their back broken out.
She threw her back out. But they were like, you know, when it made the headlines, it was like in famous Twitcher, you know, Adriana, whatever. I'm like, she's just not even known as a porn star anymore. She's just a video game streamer.
I wonder if she twitched when she broke her back.
But yeah, I mean, it's there's some crazy money involved in that, you know?
It's insane.
And these chicks dress up smoking hot and they play video games and it's just...
Yeah, I mean, T-Pain was telling us that, like, he's making more money playing video games on Twitch than from music.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So what's your touring, like, how much are you touring on your own as a headliner?
I've been doing it, yeah. I've been going way too hard. Yeah.
Too hard.
Yeah.
I think that's the case with everybody after the pandemic. We just went ape shit.
Yeah.
Everybody's just, Tom's fried, you're fried, I'm fried, you're fried, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's fried.
Yeah.
So you just got on the weekends?
Yeah. And, yeah. A couple weeks ago, I did a longer run, and it burnt me out so hard that I haven't really caught up since then. But now I'm done. I'm at the point to where I get to call my shots, and so, like, I have December off except for Arlington, Dallas in the middle of December, and that's a 2.5-hour drive, so that's, like, really, really easy. No airports.
You mean the Arlington where Gringo Poppy was filmed?
Wait, is that where that was filmed?
Is it?
The Dallas Improv, Arlington?
I think so, yeah.
That's where Gringo Poppy was filmed.
Oh, no.
Dude, tough act to follow.
Pressure's on.
Oh, man. How do you know that? How do you know that was filmed there?
I was fascinated by the entire thing. I even know where the construction paper came from.
Oh my god.
I even know who cut it out.
Oh my god, it's so funny. Yeah, we all are. We're all very fascinated about it.
It was fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, I'm particularly close to that because of the Known for Other Things coming into stand-up. Like, first special on Showtime, you know? Yeah. And then, like, putting out the second special on your own.
35 minutes.
25.
Was it really?
It was 25.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. It's like death by a thousand self-inflicted paper cuts or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. But yeah, like, so I was particularly, you know, because like, I care a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You still feel that way, though? Because people are always saying, like...
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, you
Tom
know what?
Gave
like,
you, Tony gave you kudos.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Dude, you really worked your ass off.
I've found my stride in what I do, and I'm perfectly comfortable about it. I don't think, you know...
No other comedians fucking jumping out of an airplane jacking off for this.
Right. And I'm not, like, claiming to be so great, you know? That I think that's the other problem there, is that when you're, like...
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you're, like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm, you know...
It's a study. This is, yeah. I mean, it is a study of... There's something going on, because we're figuring out this internet thing, right? We're figuring out social media. And I always lay low. I'm weirdly, like, I don't promote things. I just like to... I'm just not into it. But I think the showy offy stuff is come to an end. Those slow motion shots of walking to the stage with a drink and taking a sip and all that stuff. It's like people are ready for the jokes.
Right.
They are ready to go. That's why like my homie Ari Shaffir special.
So damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculously good.
And this is a guy that's just throwing punches the whole time. There's no absorbing, no taking any, you know, time doing anything. Boom, 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 boom,
I,
boom.
I was so wildly impressed by Ari's Jew special.
Yep. Yeah, I opened for him. I did a guest spot on his show right before he filmed it around the corner here. And I was on the other side of that wall in the green room, and I was hearing the beats from the audience just whoosh.
Yeah.
Whoosh.
At the actual taping?
No, just before the taping
when
he was in like fighter shape for it.
Right.
And he was smashing this little room, and it sounded like the fucking walls were going to come down. And, you know, I'm just so happy for him. That's a guy who... You know, they tried to cancel for a joke and now is thriving on his own. There's like a real...
Right.
Feel like when you've been wronged by the media and the internet, you know, it makes you fight back with a little bit more strength.
Well, I had this idea of who Ari was.
To that.
Because I only knew him from the media. And then we had him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago and he was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
he's the
real
man.
Mensch.
Oh, totally. He's literally my big brother, one of the nicest guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big part of the reason why I'm in that whole Rogan world to begin with. Like, he was the one that recommended me when he started headlining so much that he couldn't open for Joe anymore. Joe's like, well, who else is coming up the ranks? Like, who, whatever. And Ari threw me right into the mix. And I've worked with Joe ever since then, and Ari was a tremendous, tremendous help when I made fun of the Asian kid that went on before me back in May of 2021.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and like that completely clipped out of context and made it seem like I was just attacking some innocent kid that had no idea. What was going on?
Didn't the kid kind of get behind it? Like,
oh, he was completely. He was the only one behind it. He was. He literally. Him and his friend clipped it. Illegally recorded it, then clipped it, and then sent it to the Chinese media, who actually leaked that he had tweeted this clip before he tweeted it. Because he slept in or something. They like messed up the coordination. This was actually and I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I know what happened. And it was like a coordinated, very interesting attack that, you know, was the news for a couple days. A dirty stand-up show where phones are locked up and they're warned that there's dirty jokes. And he knows me. He's open for me. He's been on Kill Tony. He got pulled out of the bucket years ago. And I helped him. He got to make out with a white trash girl that show. He had never kissed an American girl.
Wow.
Crowd goes crazy. Everybody had fun. And he thought he would get famous by being a victim.
Have you seen him since?
Nope, haven't seen him. Haven't heard much.
Hmm.
It's a shame.
And was there any lasting effect from that? Like
the opposite. It was literally everything got better. Any comedy fan, especially the ones that knew me before that, I mean, knows what's going on there in a stand-up comedy show. There is no like, oh, he made fun of comedian, too bad. Like, what a joke. I mean, you're a comedian. It'd be one thing if it was an audience member, but even then, they're in the audience at a comedy show, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's so bizarre. The problem I have with the media's handling of it is it's so interesting to me that they, if they know nothing about me and they see the clip and they go to me and you type in Tony Hinchcliffe, literally the first thing that popped up was American insult comedian. Yeah, Tony Hinchcliffe was born in Youngstown, Ohio, but literally the first words are.
Yeah, but also the second line is you open for Rogan.
And
then they don't like, you know.
Before that, I opened for Jeff Ross, and I wrote for 10 Comedy Central Roasts, and I was on 2 seasons of Roast Battle, and I professionally make fun of people is the through line. And meanwhile, they saw that and go, yeah, we're going to continue with this story of, you know, disgusting and ridiculous. But that's just the media now for clicks and for whatever, just want to see, you know, burn. They just want to see victims and trouble and bad. And
speaking of burn, do we know what happened to Jay Leno?
That was a fucking pretty funny joke the other night.
That was a
William Montgomery with the Jay Leno roast joke.
Like but that was fucked up, dude.
There was a roast of Jay Leno.
But how bad? What is Jay Leno?
I mean, dude, that happened the same day that I put up a video about my horrific burns.
Really?
Yeah.
You were burned 15% of your body.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Leno was burned a little bit.
What if every time you put out that video, another celebrity burns themselves? This is the start of a really creepy movie. Upload.
Yeah. But yeah, what about it?
I didn't know. I only heard that he got burned. Was it bad or was it just?
I think that it was like a part of his face was burned.
But that's it. It wasn't like he's fucking 80% of his body. He's like on life support.
Well, his chin is a natural fire hood, so it blocked most of. Yeah,
15% of the burns on his chin.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna be okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but dude, burns are gnarly, man.
Yeah,
burns
I remember.
Burns are the most painful. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was supposed to do Kill Tony when I got my burns.
Yeah, I remember. There was a lot going on. You remember I used to be neighbors with Rick.
Classic, yeah.
And I remember, man, that stuff happened. They were none too pleased with you. They're literally like, goddamn, Steve almost fucking killed himself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was rough.
That was a really, really rough episode.
And then he flew
episode.
To Comedy Works and...
And Wee Man was actually on the panel of Kill Tony. And, yeah. And I was supposed to be on there with him. Mm-hmm. It's tough to picture how Wee Man did on his own with that.
He was good. He was good. He's fantastic. The energy of all you guys. And, you know, I just play well with people that I respect. That's really the thing. And like I said the other day, like Jackass and South Park are, that's it. Like if I need to laugh, that's all I can count on. Or serious stuff. Like I find, you know, Tarantino movies and a lot of Scorsese movies to be some of the funniest things that I know of.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, it's not even fair. Like, so like Wee Man, everybody, that whole entire crew.
Yeah.
I think Johnny's the only one I've never like worked with in any capacity, but everybody else, me and Tremaine were in talks to, we were like about to, I can't remember what happened. We were about to do, he loves Kill Tony. And uh-huh. we were very close to making some things together. And super cool stuff. Rachel Wolfson.
Yep.
Yep. Matt Edgar, all these people.
I saw Matt Edgar was in on the panel for a bunch of those videos.
Yep, Danger Aaron has been on the panel. Oh jeez. Oh my god.
You're not struggling to come up with Dave England's name.
Who?
Pontius.
Yes, I am. Yes. Chris Pontius.
See, that's where Pontius screwed himself. He's calling himself Party Boy or Chief Roberts, you know, Garbage Man. Like, it's always some fucking other name except for his own goddamn name. And then here we are, like, scratching our head.
Like, Party Boy.
Right.
Party Boy, what's his name?
Bunny the Lifeguard.
Yeah, Bunny.
Yep. Like, every time you name one of these things, I picture it. It's so interesting.
And then there's... like the guy, the people who went with the name that is not on their driver's license, Bam, Wee Man, Steve-O,
right?
Even Johnny Knoxville, like the absurd, goofy name that sticks with you because it's easy to remember, served us very well. Mm-hmm. And then like the guys who have the name on their driver's license is the name that they use. It doesn't stick as much.
I love it. It's amazing. That newest one was a fucking work of art, by the way. What incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah, you got a shirt from there, and I got a shirt from the movie. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing. So cool.
Yeah, dude. Well, thank you, man. So you've got December off.
Yeah, just Dallas, Texas, and I have some fun things coming up next year. About to release a huge tour, 32-city, big tour coming up in 2023. So it's going to be really, really fun.
Dude, check this out. I just finished a tour in Canada. I did 30 cities just in Canada.
Whoa.
I toured more cities in Canada than any other artist, period, this year.
Whoa. Yeah. Did you do Lloydminster?
Mm-hmm. You bet I did.
Did you do Saskatoon?
You bet I did.
Are you serious?
Red Deer, Dawson's Creek.
I did shit you never even heard of, dude. Dawson Creek, Red Deer, Medicine Hat.
What size are these venues up there?
Wait.
How big was the venue in Medicine Hat?
Medicine Hat was pretty small. I had two shows there. I added a show. In Dawson Creek, the population of Dawson Creek is 12,000.
Yeah.
I had 1,300 at my show.
No kidding, dude. Wow.
Yeah, it was killer, man. It was my,
awesome.
Is that Dawson's Creek, the TV show named after that city?
I'm reasonably sure it is not. Maybe really? The other way around.
Yeah,
yeah. They started it after that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I had a wildly successful Canada run, man. I'm super stoked.
What do you like to do for fun when you're out there on the road?
I travel with. I got a bus now. Mm-hmm. I got my editors on the bus. Mm-hmm. Like it's you know what I get a kick out of is making video.
Yeah.
You know, like at the moment I'm working on a video with Wee Man. It is Steve-O versus Wee Man, the skateboarding challenge to see who can outskate each other, because we've got this collab skateboard where we're all done up as heavy metal, like glam rocker. And so we've actually got our glam rocker costumes and we're making a skate video wearing it.
That's
so
awesome.
Like while in Canada, I rented two huge U-Haul cube trucks and a trailer and built ramps all over them and skated it while it was moving.
That's so cool.
My favorite day of the whole tour.
Wow.
And then the day I got home, I had a ramp built over my new Tesla and Tony Hawk drove it at me and I jumped on it and skated over it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of shit I dig.
I love that. You filming anything here in Austin?
Just podcasts. We got a 3 podcast day today.
I love it. Next time we have to coordinate something so that you could shoot like something cool and local. Somebody can, I don't know, do something with a tuba or there's, you know, music here is so crazy.
Right.
There's got to be something funny you could do. You know,
tuba stick.
You get Gary. Yeah.
Flesh flute? You can stick it a flesh flute up your ass.
Like, Waco's very close to here. We you love going surf? To the surf.
No, not my thing. I'm not good with anything on a board. Skateboarding, surfboarding. Yeah.
Difficult.
It's very, very bizarre. Snowboarding.
We got a lazy river.
I have strong hips. I used to wrestle, but for some reason, I don't like being on my side.
Do you watch UFC fights? Like
obsessed.
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 Dude, me too.
Do you watch the prelims?
Oh yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, love it. You do too?
Oh my God! Never miss a fight.
Incredible. I can't believe what happened with Izzy on Saturday night.
Right, I can believe it.
Yeah.
I can absolutely believe it, but it's just, it's such a shame because that first round he had.
Totally.
Dude, like,
yep.
What, yep. 10 more seconds, that shit was over.
We got Tim Kennedy on the podcast next.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love it.
He's a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Huge I'm scared to even say that out loud. He's going to choke me out.
Absolutely. He's the man. Yeah. Austin has a lot of crazy. That's another one. You know what you should do next time is, next time you come here, plan something with Gordon Ryan. You know who that is?
The
Gordon.
World champion BJJ.
Of all champions. Of all time. He's literally so much better at what he does than anybody else has ever been at what they do. The only person that they compare him to when they compare, like, he's not like Michael Jordan at basketball. He's not like Tiger at golf. The only person that they compare him to is Joey Chestnuts because he's literally like three times better than
the next
that's ever been.
Yeah, with the
Joey Chestnuts. That's maybe, a hot dog guy.
When I think of you, because I just can't help my brain, but I always try to think like what would be something fun for you to do.
Right.
I'm sure everybody recommends that. You probably get texts in the middle of the night like, yo, dude, you should fucking shove this up of that or whatever. But you know what? One thing that I think would be good is you ever scrape the dry skin off the bottom of your feet after going through moist to dry? Like sometimes I'll go golfing and, you know, like afterwards your feet get dry and you do the little scrub thing and then
it's like Parmesan cheese.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about snorting a line of your own foot skin?
I've thought about that. That's minor.
You listen to what the fuck. Have you even talked about this on?
I don't know, but it's minor. That's minor, compared to
just wait.
Like the entire cast of Jackass jacks off onto a plate. Uh-huh. Just to be tasteful, we just have like a face cam to see their expression when they actually ejaculate. But that's it. You just see the face. And then you've got a plate full of cum, which goes into the dehydrator. And then once it's dehydrated, you scrape up the line and snort that.
Dude, it's so fucked.
That's gnarlier than foot powder.
Foot powder.
Yeah, allow me to give you credit publicly for being the one to suggest that the condom of Chris Pontius has come, which I swallowed and then shit out. He said, dude, I told you I'd saved it. You were like, swallowed it again. And I did. I was like, dude, that might be too much. You were like, no, I swallowed the shit-covered, cum-filled condom.
Wait, I suggested
you
that?
You suggested,
oh
I swallowed
God,
it again.
That's amazing.
In front of his dad.
I swallowed it. I swallowed it, shit it out, and then swallowed it.
Oh, my God. Well, that only leaves one thing to do. Do it again.
Yeah, I don't know.
whatever happened to it?
I never found it again. It's
dissolved.
Yeah, I don't. It did. Mm. It did not make the.
Wait, it didn't come out. It's still in there.
I'm sure it did, but it just. I didn't catch it.
Wow.
I didn't catch it.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Pontius barfed involuntarily.
Watching you do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so. it looked like he coughed. It was just, you know. And then Preston ran out and wiped it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
It's a fun life we live, man.
Oh, my God. It's just crazy, the two different worlds of comedy. I'm up there working on the next roast that I'm doing right now and trying to strategically look at words and figure out how these puzzle pieces match together to make a funny. And then I come down here and you're like, so I swallowed the condom again. And I'm like, just brilliant.
Yeah.
It's true.
And then there's my next plan for my next hour, which is double D tits, full of breast surgery.
No. No.
I need to have the experience. I need to know what it's like.
It's like a meet and greet.
Oh my God, that's so funny, dude.
Yeah.
Are you really gonna do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you gonna snort the cum while you have titties?
Yeah, everyone's gotta cum on my tits.
Oh my God, dude.
Oh shit. So you're gonna get double D's and then what's the plan? You just keep them for a while?
3 months, about, like, to workshop it.
Oh, my God.
I got a bunch of ideas, and I got a bunch of other shit that's...
Maybe we'll have Tim Kennedy shoot a fucking sniper rifle through his titties.
Oh, my God. Well,
That I don't think is going to happen, but...
Yeah.
Guns aren't quite as funny as they used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Guns used to be hilarious.
Oh, man. And you could also do things. Like, I mean, you could walk around with just shorts and your tits out.
I mean, that's the thing.
Can
it's
you?
Like, I'm a heterosexual man, identifies as a male, right? Like, I should be allowed to have my shirt off.
Yeah, those are your tits. Those are your man tits. Yeah. You're a man. You identify as a man.
Right.
Shirt off is allowed.
Yep.
You could even go shirt off and then do the bicycle shorts paint.
Yeah.
And really just make everybody wonder what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Dude.
It's wild.
So we're all very busy working on new material.
I love it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more really fucked up hour in me, and then I'm not sure what's going to happen after that.
Wow. Well, I'll be following it closely. I'm a big fan, man. I love what you do.
Dude.
Always have to get to even, like, there's sometimes I'm sitting behind that table on Kill Tony. I'm like, I can't fucking believe this is what is up. Like, I've watched you forever, and to get to, you know, have you on my show and give positive feedback and put you in a position to, you know, look good and... You know, you book Tom on the podcast there. You know what I mean? It's like this just magical land of opportunity. And to get to do that to someone that, you know, frickin' 20 years ago, I'm fresh out of high school laughing at your stuff and with all my buddies. And, you know, so thank you.
Well, thank you,
brother. Awesome times, my friend.
Any, you got your Instagram and shit?
Yeah, I'm Tony Hinchcliffe on everything. TonyHinchcliffe.com for tour dates and whatnot. And, Kill Tony's on YouTube.
That's right,
every
man.
Monday at 8 p.m. a new episode comes out.
This will have come out a couple days after. We put this out on Thursdays.
Yep.
Kill Tony goes out on...
Mondays.
Mondays, there you
go.
Go
listen to the Tom Segura episode, and you're going to see a surprise appearance by Steve-O. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, dude. I love you, and thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Any concerns out of that?
Not at all.
Good.
Not good, at man. All. That was amazing. Dude, you're so funny, bro. That shit cracks me up.
It's cold as fuck over here.
Isn't it right now? It's weird. This weird cold front just came in.
And there you have it. We drove that van all the way to Austin, Texas for that. And those were the three ones we got there. Tom Segura, Tim Kennedy, Tony Hinchcliffe. Where are we going to take the van to next? Well, I'll tell you a secret. Next comes Mr. Zackass. We're flying him out to join us in Texas on tour. And did I mention that Dothan, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Albuquerque, New Mexico are all getting taped for my bucket list special? Whew! Man, those shows are going to be fire. Thank you for sticking around.